Dune, Doc, and a Dead Man by Carolyn L. Dean. Read by Gail Hedrick. Even with the camera in front of her face, Lisa must have heard Amanda coming. "You missed all the fun this morning." She clicked her camera off and cradled it in her hands, apparently having enough photos of cupcakes. "Owen Winters called me a leftist pinko and said he'd only let me take a photo of his garden gate if I paid him $5. Can you believe that?" Actually, Amanda could. Owen Winters was an older man who had a reputation of being suspicious of other people's motives. He was an Army veteran who lived next door to Mrs. Bitterman, the one neighbor he actually liked, apparently bonding over a mutual love of gardening and antique cars. He could often be seen with his head under the hood of her still-running 1934 Model A, tinkering with it and muttering curse words when it didn't cooperate with his wishes. Other than that, he'd been known to occasionally corner George Ortiz and tell the patient police chief about how the teenagers of the town were too noisy when they drove by, or that someone's dog was constantly barking, and how irritating it was. It must have been hard for George to keep a straight face because everyone knew Owen Winters was hard of hearing. But good cop that he was, he listened carefully and followed up on any genuine issue, much to Owen's satisfaction. "Did you pay him the $5? Amanda couldn't help but tease her serious friend a bit, and she got the reaction she wanted when Lisa looked shocked. "Pay him? Are you crazy? The press does not pay for photos." She sniffed disdainfully and finally added, "I did buy two of his pumpkins, though. They'll look good on my front porch for fall." "And how much did they cost?" Her friend was turned away from her, stowing her camera in its bag, but Amanda could hear the tone of resigned confession in her voice. $5. Amanda laughed and looped her arm through her friend's as Lisa finally smiled and gave a deep sigh. "Well, I needed the pumpkins anyway." "Of course you did." Under Lisa's serious exterior beat a soft heart of someone who did her best to help people, whether it was by writing an article in her newspaper, highlighting injustice, or making sure someone who was barely making ends meet quietly got whatever they needed. More than once, Amanda had noticed Lisa's subtle way of helping people without making them feel like they were receiving charity, and it was one of the things she most admired about her quiet friend. Owen was on a fixed income and only able to supplement it with sales from his small fruit stand and pay for helping Mrs. Bitterman with her weeding and yard work. Lisa's $5 probably helped Owen get some much-needed groceries. "Are you about done? I promised Mrs. Granger I'd sit with her and Mrs. Bitterman and do some people watching. God only knows what kind of stories that lady is going to tell me this time," Lisa said as she put the strap of her camera bag over her shoulder. Amanda unlooped her arm. "Sounds promising." Mrs. Granger's ability to know everything about everyone in Ravenwood Cove was legendary. "I've got a few more vendors to check, and then I'll be there. Save me a chair." Touching base with the rest of the merchants, Amanda was pleased that no new disasters surfaced, and she tucked her clipboard under her arm with a satisfied sigh. Almost every small shop or craftsperson in town had set up either a small table or a full-size booth, ready for the townspeople and tourists to stop by and buy their wares. There were even a few people who had just plopped into a folding chair and laid down old blankets near the sidewalk with their handicrafts on them. The only shop in town that never had a booth at the weekly market was one of the newest and certainly the most stylish in Ravenwood Cove. The former mayor, Mrs. Sanford, had resigned in disgrace from the town council and had quietly opened up a high-end art gallery. It featured imported antiques, too, none of the local bits and pieces of cast-offs that so often made their way into the beach town antique stores. Amanda actually liked those sorts of shops with their jumble of items that could be treasures, but Mrs. Sanford had publicly proclaimed that no junk would ever be in the Sanford Gallery. The influx of tourists had proved to be a bonanza for the ex-mayor, and she'd hired a couple of elegantly dressed young women to greet clients while she mostly managed the books and supervised from the back office, an interior window with frosted glass between her and the customers. The market was in full swing by the time Amanda was able to stop by Mrs. Bitterman's booth to sit with Mrs. Granger and Lisa. Mrs. Bitterman seemed to love chatting with the people who drifted by her booth, drawn in by the sumptuous display of dahlias and bundles of fresh herbs. Almost 20 years younger than her longtime friend, Mrs. Granger, she was a bundle of energy, even though she'd recently broken a bone in her foot at a Zumba dance class and had to sit while she talked, a plaster cast on her left foot and a pair of metal crutches nearby. She loved to explain how to cook with her pickled elephant garlic or what meats tasted best when roasted with rosemary, and from the constant traffic by her chair, Amanda could tell her plants and herbs were a crowd favorite. Owen Winters brought by 3 grapevine wreaths to sell, ignoring the ladies' greetings and talking quietly with Mrs. Bitterman before he disappeared back into the busy aisle. Mrs. Granger was a running stream of observation, sitting on the seat of her walker and letting Lisa and Amanda know the dirt or her opinion about most of the people who walked by. She was the best sort of gossip, even if she did tell perhaps a bit more than she should, because she never did it to be vicious or spread ugly rumors. She seemed to simply delight in being able to share the local news, and Amanda had learned some time ago that there were actually things her 90-year-old friend would never talk about, because it might hurt someone or betray a confidence. Mrs. Granger was just pointing out Mrs. Henderson, Amanda's neighbor from across the street, and quietly whispering details of her high school love life when Meg stomped over and flopped into the open chair by her grandmother, frustration on every line of her face. "Anderson's here." Just the name set off alarm bells in Amanda's head and her mouth dropped open in shock. "Here? What's that creep doing in Ravenwood? Are you okay?" She tried to keep her voice from having a note of panic, but considering Meg's history with Anderson Bowles, she had every right to be upset. Meg had met Anderson on some dating site online, and from the very first date he'd been aggressive and demanding, wanting far more from Meg than she was willing to do, and deriding her choice not to sleep with him as being puritanical and prudish. When Meg had given him a piece of her mind and unceremoniously dumped him, refusing to return his calls and throwing out the 2 huge bouquets of white roses he'd had delivered to the coffee shop, he hadn't taken it well. It had been weeks since that single date, and he was still texting her and trying to call. "I think he's stalking me. He stopped by the cuppa booth and said we needed to talk. I told him we had nothing to discuss and he needed to leave, but he seemed really angry before he walked away. I had Tori take over the booth, and I came to find you." Meg's words seemed to jolt Lisa into action. "I'm going to see if I can find George and let him know what's going on," she said, and before Meg could stop her, she was loping out of the booth and down the crowded aisle intent on finding the police chief. Mrs. Granger had been listening with rapt attention and finally leaned back in her walker. "In my day, we'd take a boy like that out back, and someone would beat the tar out of him if he were going to bother a young lady. Honey, your grandma's got your back." The old lady pulled her ancient black purse off the handle of her walker and dug inside, dumping out several cotton handkerchiefs and a tattered coupon book from the local grocery store before she finally fished out a small, snub-nosed revolver. "Here you go, honey. This should persuade him you mean business," she said, as she tried to hand the gun to her protesting granddaughter. "Graham, put that away. I'm not going to shoot him." Meg was swiveling her head around, trying to see if anyone was watching her grandmother brandishing a deadly weapon. "I just want him to stop bugging me." Mrs. Granger seemed genuinely disgusted as she finally stuffed the little gun back into her purse. "Seems like shooting him would do the trick, especially if it was something important to him that you shot off,"